From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information as well as Indonesian song. Well listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Listener, here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo emphasizes three steps to tackle global recession. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin hopes the Islamic International University of Indonesia becomes a reference. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has drawn focus to three steps deemed necessary for ASEAN member countries and Korea to face global recession and challenges that lie ahead. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo, while speaking at the ASEAN Republic of Korea CEO Summit in Busan, South Korea, on Monday, explained that the global economic recession could destroy the global economic and financial system and create a sense of distrust toward world economic institutions. He expressed optimism that ASEAN member countries and South Korea would be adept at facing the challenges and making breakthroughs to stall a further plunge in the regional economy. The president noted that the first of the three steps prioritize quality infrastructure development. He stated Indonesia will organize an infrastructure and connectivity forum for the Indo-Pacific region. He invited all business players to grab infrastructure and connectivity projects in Indonesia and the Indo-Pacific region. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin hopes the Islamic International University of Indonesia will become one of the reference campuses for the development of world Islamic sciences. It is based on the purpose of the development of the UIII campus to make Indonesia become a reference for Islamic civilization. Therefore, it needs research and sciences center with international quality and reputation standard. Ma'ruf Amin said this when opening the meeting of Expert Council of Islamic International University of Indonesia, or UIII 2019, in Jakarta on Tuesday, November 26. As quoted by Republika.co.id, the Vice President also hopes that UIII will become center for the spread of modern, tolerant, and progressive Islamic culture and civilization. Ma'ruf Amin explained that the wish is aroused because Indonesia is a democracy country with the largest Muslim population in the world. Therefore, he considered that Indonesia can be a place of reference for the development of Islamic sciences. Ministry of Foreign Affairs has encouraged the startup ecosystem or domestic startups to support economic diplomacy, which is one of Indonesia's foreign policy priorities. As quoted by Antara News Agency, during an event organized by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for Startups in Jakarta on Monday, Deputy Foreign Minister Mahendra Siregar explained that startups in the digital economy are emerging as an important foundation to boost the country's economy in the future. Mahendra also said, of course, startups are a mainstay and become a focus of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for Economic Diplomacy. Associated with the context of the current world economy, Mahendra explained the world economy experienced the lowest rate of economic growth since the global financial crisis 10 years ago, and international trade was also the lowest 20 years ago. According to Mahendra, Indonesia as a country with a large market is able to survive without the end to shut down and apply the principle of protectionism. Indonesia has been chosen to host the fourth meeting of the Conference of the Parties COP4 to the Minamata Convention in 2021. It was said by Environmental Affairs and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar, who attended the COP3 in Geneva, Switzerland, in a statement received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday. During the second plenary on November 25, 2019, at 6:20 p.m. local time, it was decided that Indonesia will be the host of the COP4 to the Minamata Convention in 2021 that is planned in Nusa Dua, Bali. Indonesia's appointment to be the next host of the Minamata Convention meeting in 2021 was deemed crucial since Indonesia also faced the problem of mercury pollution with high complexity. She also said Indonesia has paid special attention to the issue since 2015 when the president was visiting Maluku. She further said illegal small-scale gold mining activities have caused the mercury problem in Indonesia. Indonesia has a big marine potential, but it has not been utilized optimally. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Edi Prabowo regretted that the marine potential of Indonesia has not been used optimally. In fact, it can be a solution to various problems, including to overcome malnutrition. Minister Edi Prabowo, in a press release on Tuesday, explained that Indonesia has national waters covering 6.4 million square kilometers. Indonesia also has a coastline of 108,000 kilometers. From the expanse of sea and land waters, Indonesia has a sustainable capture fisheries potential of 12.54 million tons per year. Minister of Trade Agus Suparmanto is on a working visit to Busan, South Korea, leading a trade mission that looks to increase cooperation and trade between the two countries from November 25 until 27, 2019. Korea has been a friend of Indonesia in the past, present, and future. The two countries have developed good relations for more than 40 years. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Suparmanto in his statement received in Jakarta on Monday said that now is the right time to strengthen relations between Indonesia and South Korea. The minister is accompanying President Joko Widodo for the 30th anniversary of the ASEAN-South Korea Cooperation Commemorative Summit in Busan on November 25 until 26, 2019. This summit carries the theme Partnership for Peace, Welfare for All. At the summit, President Joko Widodo will discuss ASEAN-South Korea cooperation that has existed for past 30 years and will continue for the next 30, including cooperation in connectivity and efforts to maintain regional. A big contingent of Indonesia that will compete in the 2019 SEA Games in the Philippines on November 30 until December 11, 2019, released by President Joko Widodo at the Bogor Palace on Wednesday. As quoted by Republika.co.id, before being released by President Jokowi, the contingent was inaugurated by Chairman of the Indonesian National Olympic Committee, or NOC, Raja Sabta Oktahari, in Jakarta on Wednesday. Based on the sequence of events issued by National Olympic Committee Indonesia, the inauguration started at 9:30 West Indonesia time. The inauguration participants are athletes, coaches and officials from each sport branches who are sent to the Philippines. In this biennial championship, Indonesia will participate in 51 from 56 sport branches which will be competed. Indonesia is strengthened by 841 athletes at the 2019 SEA Games. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal. Listener, here is commentary. The title of today's commentary is Government Launches Discourse on the Elimination of Buildings and Environmental Impact Analysis Permits. Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Special Planning, National Land Agency Sofyan Jalil started a discourse on the abolition of permit to build buildings and environmental impact analysis during the commemoration of National Special Day. The government has taken the abolition of boats as a form of permit simplification, which is expected to facilitate investment. The discourse was repeated again by Deputy Minister Surya Chandra at the Parliament Complex, Jakarta on Tuesday, November 19, 2019. Surya Chandra explained the government is currently preparing a detailed special plan. If it has been effective, buildings and environmental impact analysis permits are not needed anymore because it is already included in it. Even so, it is admitted that mitigation still needs to be done because not all regions are ready. The similarity in quality of the detailed special plan in each region is not yet certain, so it's still a long process. The government is still asking for input from all stakeholders. The same discourse was raised by Deputy of Macroeconomic and Financial Coordination at the Coordinating Ministry for the Economy, Iskandar Simorangkir, who said the plan was in the Omnibus Law Legislation Scheme. The draft on creating employment bill summarizes more than 70 laws. It is targeted that the draft of the Omnibus Law will be in the hands of the legislature before December 12, 2019. In this short period of time, various community reactions emerge against the planned elimination of buildings and environmental impact analysis permits. It has been reported that at least 7 non-governmental organizations in the field of environment and legal aid object to the government's plan. It is better if the government waits and listens to the aspirations of the community before abolishing the permits for the sake of investment purposes. Regulations should not hamper development. Instead, regulations must support and make development activities useful and safe for the community. If it is felt that the buildings and environmental impact analysis permits are hampering investment, it should be reviewed and, if necessary, revised so as to continue to prioritize control of community safety and the environment. The regulation should be made in such a way that it closes the space for bribery and abuse of authority that slows down the bureaucracy. Because illegal practices that make use of regulations are what actually hinder investment. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History, Opera Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on November 26, 1922, when Howard Carter became the first person who entered Tutankhamun tomb. Since Howard Carter found Tutankhamun tomb on November 26, 1922, Tutankhamun has become a popular icon of ancient Egyptian civilization. Tutankhamun was buried in a town which is not to be small for his status. Mummy of King Tutankhamun is still located at the tomb at the King's Valley. On November 4, 2007, 85 years after Carter's discovery, Brown Stone was exhibited at Underground Tomb in Luxor. Naked spiritual Tutankhamun is Brown from the 18th dynasty of Egypt, who controlled from 1333 before Christmas until 1324 before Christmas and the New Kingdom of Egyptian era. His real name is Tutankhaten, meaning life incarnation of Aten, while Tutankhamun meaning life or incarnation of Amun. The next event is that in 1990, after more than 30 years in power, Lim Kuan Yew was replaced by Goh Chok Tong. Lim Kuan Yew was Singaporean Prime Minister from 1959 until 1990. In 1954, Lee, along with his group who studied in England, formed People's Action Party to push the establishment of Singaporean government that is suffering so that colonialism of Great Britain could end. 5 years later, in 1959, Lee was elected as the first Prime Minister of Singapore, replacing former head of Singapore Minister David Shaw Marshall. Lim Kuan Yew still becomes political figure who has influence in Singapore since his nation as a Prime Minister. On November 26, 1990, he was replaced by Goh Chok Tong. In the Goh Chok Tong government, Lee officiated as a senior minister. And the last event is that in 2011, Kutai Kartanegara Bridge in East Kalimantan collapsed. Kutai Kartanegara Bridge was a bridge that passed on Mahakam River and the longest hanging bridge in Indonesia. The total length of the bridge reached 710 meters, with hanging area without support reaching 270 meters. The bridge was connecting between Tenggarong City and Tenggarong Seberang that directed to Samarinda City. Kutai Kartanegara Bridge was the second one which was built passing Mahakam River after Mahakam Bridge in Samarinda and also called Mahakam Bridge II. The bridge was built similar with Golden Gate in San Francisco, the United States of America. The construction of the bridge started in 1995 and finished in 2001. When being inaugurated, the bridge was named Gerban Dayaku but changed to be Kutai Kartanegara Martadipura or Kartanegara Bridge. On November 26, 2011, at 4:20 local time, Kutai Kartanegara Bridge collapsed. Dozens of vehicles on the bridge were plunged into Mahakam River. As a consequence, 21 people were killed and dozens of people were injured. The result of research of three teams of university showed that there was indication of construction failure. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Sahi, hatiku, oh, sahi, melihatmu dengannya.
Harapan tinggi jatuh, menguap tak berbentuk. Nyata bukan pertanda, hanya pikiranku saja. Harapan itu semu, sulit untuk ku percaya. Sampai akhirnya ku lihat sendiri sakit hatiku. Sakit melihatmu dengannya. Tinggal melupakanmu saja. Janji diri sendiri, terakhir malam ini.
There was the song entitled Ekspektasi sung by Kunto Aji. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, to facilitate cooperation between Indonesia and Djibouti, a forum called Indonesia Djibouti Business Connect, IDBC, was launched. IDBC is a fast communication and information forum that promotes connectivity and execution of economic cooperation through social media application in real time. IDBC was launched by the Ambassador of Republic of Indonesia to Ethiopia, Djibouti and the African Union, Al-Busra Basnur, during a seminar entitled Indonesia Economic Update organized by Indonesian Embassy in Addis Ababa, in collaboration with the Chamber of Commerce and Industry of Djibouti in the city of Djibouti, November 19, 2019. As quoted by the website kemlu.go.id, Ambassador Al-Busra Basnur said, IDBC, initiated by Indonesian Embassy Addis Ababa, connect Djibouti and Indonesian businessmen and the Indonesian Embassy Addis Ababa 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. In addition, the launch of IDBC was also because most Indonesian and Djibouti entrepreneurs did not yet know each other well, especially about the potential for economic cooperation that they could explore and develop in order to enhance bilateral economic cooperation. The seminar was attended by around 50 prominent Djibouti businessmen, including the chair of Djibouti Chamber of Commerce, Yusuf Musa Dawaleh, and Badul Hasan, a businessman and former minister of Djibouti. Three Indonesian businessmen also participated in the economic seminar through a video conference. In addition to video conferencing, this event was also broadcast live streaming, which was followed by Indonesian entrepreneurs in various cities and regions. Indonesia and Djibouti opened diplomatic relations in 1979 and developed rapidly. While in economic field, in 2018, the bilateral trade value of the two countries was $211.5 million, a surplus for Indonesia by 99%. Djibouti has become an important country for Indonesia and various other countries in the world as the main entry point for export to many East African countries, especially Ethiopia. That was my Indonesia today.
Yang kulalui.
There was the song entitled Ironi, sung by Lydia and Imaniar. You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. Today, I invite you to Sendang Gelis Kahuripan in West Java. When you're traveling to West Java province, the Regency of West Bandung will become the right choice of your destination. In the region, there are many interesting tourism objects such as Cimahi Waterfall, Pawon Cave, Dusun Bambu or Bamboo Hamlet, Tilu Waterfall, and Sendang Gelis Kahuripan. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to know more about Sendang Gelis Kahuripan. This tourism site is located at Cilangkok, Ganjarsari Village, Cikalong Wetan, West Bandung Regency. Sendang Gelis Kahuripan has natural pools from water spring of the mountain on it. To enter this tourism complex, you must pay entrance ticket of 10,000 rupiah per person. When you enter this tourism area, you will feel the cool air because the shady trees are growing along the tourism complex. The cool atmosphere with the sound of waterfall adds to the beauty of the Sendang Gelis Kahuripan tourist area. In this tourism attraction, there are three pools that can be used for bathing or swimming. Two pools are formed from rocks, and another one is athletic pool which has 1 to 1.5 meters depth. The water is cool and clear, so the bottom of the pool can be seen clearly. If you soak or swim in the pool, you will get certain benefits. The local people believe the water in Sendang Gelis Kahuripan has the ability to cure various diseases and prevent skin aging. Sendang Gelis Kahuripan means beautiful lake which brings life. The water resource actually becomes life support for the surrounding communities. The water is used to fulfill household needs and irrigating plantation. Nowadays, Sendang Gelis Kahuripan does not only function to fulfill people's needs, but it is also developed as one of the leading tourism destinations in West Bandung Regency. This tourism object provides various facilities such as bathroom, mosque, restroom, gazebo, restaurant, and parking space. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition, entitled Sendang Gelis Kahuripan in West Java. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Thank you. mendambakan khayalku tuh kau cuita dalam ini dalam lamunan menanti datangmu Dewi mana.
You have just listened to a song entitled Angin Malam, sung by Krisya. Listener, for the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation between RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is di sana ada pertunjukan, or in English, there is a show. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about di sana ada pertunjukan, or in English, there is a show. Tony, Joko, Endah, and Dinda are at a cultural center in Yogyakarta.
Wah, di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. Mau menonton?
Mau, tapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini ya.
Oke.
After the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice, slowly, and you can follow after me. Pertunjukan. Pertunjukan, in English, show. Tari topeng. Tari topeng, in English, topeng or mass dance. Di sana. Di sana, in English, there. Di situ, in English, there. Di sini, in English, here. Di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. Di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. In English, there is a mass dance show there. Mau menonton? Mau menonton, in English, why don't we watch it? Mau, tetapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini. Mau, tetapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini. In English, okay, but I think we have to wait Dinda and Joko first. Listener in the dialogue, Endah said, di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. In English, there is a topeng or mass dance there. To tell someone's location or something located far away from you, you can use the word di sana, in English, there. Let's follow some examples. Di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. There is a mass dance performance there. Dinda dan Joko berada di sana. Dinda and Joko are there. To tell about someone's location or something near or close to you, you can use the word di sini or in English, here. Let's follow some examples. Kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko di sini. In English, we wait for Dinda and Joko here. Kemarin, ada pertunjukan tari topeng di sini. In English, yesterday, there was topeng or mass dance performance here. In addition to the words di sana and di sini, in the Indonesian language, there is another word whose position is between the two words, namely di situ, which means there. When you want to tell someone's location or something that is not too close and not too far from you, you can use the word di situ. So, if sorted from the farthest distance, they become di sana, di situ means there, and di sini or here. For examples, saya menyimpan tiket di sana. In English, I put a ticket there. Saya menyimpan tiket di situ. In English, I put a ticket there. Saya menyimpan tiket di sini. In English, I put a ticket here. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Wah, di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. Mau menonton?
Mau, tapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini ya.
Oke.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Rindu yang datang berkepanjangan.
That was Jujur, sung by Leo, Randy, and Rifki Afi. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malayan song to you entitled Keluhan Jiwa, sung by Nur Ainun. Composed by M. Nasir Nasution, the song Keluhan Jiwa is really poetic, containing of complaints or lamentation of soul due to someone's longing to the lover. The song is quite interesting from its tempo, since some parts of the song have slow tempo and some others have fast tempo. Besides the song entitled Sri Dali, the song Keluhan Jiwa was one of Nur Ainun's popular songs at the time. The singer, who is familiarly called Ainun, was born in Stabat Langkat, North Sumatra on November 7, 1935. Ainun was not only able to sing melody songs, but also the songs in Arabic, Indian, and other foreign languages. Ainun also composed her own melody songs. At least, there were 10 songs she composed by herself, among others, Jangan Duduk Termenung, Bunga Dalam Taman, and Tak Putus Asa. Here is the song, Keluhan Jiwa, sung by Nur Ainun. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
listener. Thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. You can send your suggestion and criticism through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also send your email to us to the address voi@voinews.id.